In our last class, we saw Lakshmidhar Kavi provide us with the reasoning that the valid means of knowledge, which is scriptures, they can never be invalidated. And why would somebody say that it is invalid? The reason why they say it is invalid is because Brahman is real. Everything other than Brahman is false. So that means Vedas are also false. And if Vedas are false, then everything that the Vedas talk about is also false. So therefore, it is invalid. It is not useful. And our argument to that is, no, that's wrong. There are two things as a subject matter in Vedas. One is Karma Kanda, and another is Jnana Kanda. So that subject matter which talks about Karma Kanda, that subject matter is useful because it takes one from this loka to Swarga loka. So by following that, one was able to reach a destination. Now you say the destination reached is false. That's okay. It doesn't invalidate the scripture. That is the point. We are in agreement that scriptures are not the absolute. It's not the absolute truth. Because absolute truth we are talking about is paramarthika. So we agree, sure. Scriptures are not paramarthika. But just because they're not paramarthika does not mean that they are not useful. So by following Karma Kanda, one is able to reach a destination. So it is useful in that. Another point is Jnana Kanda. And then Swayam Prakashiti ji, he comes up with this idea that when do you say it is not useful? When do you say it is invalid? Would you say that the scriptures are invalid after moksha or before moksha? If you say it is invalid after moksha, then that is not true, because using the scriptures alone, the person was able to realize. So you cannot say that it was not useful when the person was ignorant, because that was only the means for the person to realize. And he gives an example of Brahmacharya and Grihastha. The dharma of Brahmacharya ashram and Grihastha ashram are different. But those who follow the scriptural injunctions of the Brahmacharya ashram, it is useful for them. And now when they have gone to Grihastha ashram, doesn't make it less useful. It is not applicable to them, that's all. Because now they have a different set of dharma that they need to follow. So the scriptures will guide them on different sets of dharma. But it doesn't make it useless. That is point number two. And the third point is, if you say it is before, the scriptures are useless even before, because the object of the Vedas is Paramartha. The object of the Vedas is Paramartha. Right? Brahman is Paramartha. Beyond the Vyavahar, beyond the transaction. So if you say that how can Vyavahara take one to Paramartha? It's not possible. If you say like that, that is also not true. Because it is like, I think we talked about the example. It is like the dream. If we are in a dream, and in a dream, somebody wakes us up. In a dream, not external to the dream, not outside in the waking world, somebody shakes our body and wakes. That is different. This is somebody coming in our dream and then telling us to wake. Was the person who came in that dream real? No, that person was false. It was an imagination of the mind. But because of that, one woke up from the dream. So they were able to attain realization. Likewise, meaning they were able to attain waking state. So likewise, a person who gains an insight into Paramartha, following the practices, they attain moksha. It becomes useful. So even before, the Vedas are still useful. Although it attains for us Paramartha. And the understanding behind this is that the scriptures are not trying to attain for us Paramartha. They are trying to remove the vyavaharic ignorance. Ignorance is at the level of vyavahara, at the level of transaction. So what are the scriptures doing? What is the Vedas telling us? That this ignorance is false. Remove the ignorance. Paramartha is my nature. So its usefulness is there because the scriptures at the level of Vyavahara attacks the Vyavaharika ignorance. And then the Paramartha which is there is remaining the way it is. So there is no harm in that. All of this, you know, thoughts that have been put together is only to prove one thing. We should not doubt scriptures. We should not see its uselessness. Because I cannot apply it to my life. Because I cannot understand it. Therefore, it becomes useless. No. We figure out or we go through satsang, we go through different avenues and find how the scriptures can become applicable to us. And there is a lot of applicability. So Vedas are the valid means of knowledge. Now, having explained this, so Lakshmidhar Kavi takes up a very unique topic. And that is the differences seen in Brahman and the differences seen in the Jiva. And then he does a combination of the two. So in shloka number 19, 20, and 21, he takes up this topic to show that these differences are created because of Maya. They're not real in their nature. And therefore, it does not make Brahman divided, because they are only a superimposition under. So let's first start with shloka number 19 and then we move forward. They're very simple enough, so we won't require a lot of time on them. So connection from last to this verse. So he says, Swayam Prakashiti ji says that even though scriptures are the valid means and Brahman is how you have explained, still there is one confusion. What is the confusion? The confusion is the enjoyer, the one who enjoys the bhoktru. So the one who enjoys and the object of enjoyment, bhogya. When you say all of that is Brahman, so one who enjoys the object of the world and the objects of the world are both Brahman, if you say like that, then why is there a difference in them? One is jada, another is sentient, chetana. Why is there a difference? Because you only said that Brahman is same everywhere, then why is this difference created? And to explain this, this topic of Maya is taken. To show that Maya is the cause for this difference, this next shloka is taken. So let's chant and then we'll see. Jada jada vibhagoyam. अजडे महि कल्पितः भित्तिभागे समे चित्रे चराचर विभागवत् जडा जड विभागोयम् अजडे मयि कल्पितः भित्तिभागे समे चित्रे चराचर विभागवत्. Just the gist of the shloka first. Jada, inert. Ajada, sentient. Vibhaga, this difference. Ayam. This presentable difference. Mai ajade kalpita. Mai in me, which is ajada, which is sentient. So I own the sentient. On me, it is all imagined. And then he gives an example. Bhitti bhage same chitra. Bhitti means wall. Bhaga means the space of the wall. So on the surface of the wall, same chitre, there's a very beautiful painting drawn. One painting is of the chara, of the moving, and another painting is of the immoving. Jada, inert. We have seen many times that, right? There's a painting, a wall painting created and you know, there could be like a waterfall happening, and then underneath the waterfall there could be animal. Yeah. And sometimes they create like an animation type of thing where you can actually imagine that there is somebody moving. They're not really moving, but it seems like that. So the picture is the same. Picture is completely inert. Yet in that one can see inert part, sentient part. Like that is this. Everything in this creation is like that. The laptop, the equipment, all of this is what we call as jada. I am the insentient, or sorry, the sentient. But this jada also is Brahman, and I, the sentient, also am Brahman. Both are part of the same picture. Just one is appearing sentient, one is appearing in it. So what is that that causes them? It's not the Brahman that causes this, because Brahman is merely the substratum for this projection. It is the Upadhi themselves. It is the content of the inert world, which is Sattva Rajas Tamas of the Maya. So that Sattva Rajas Tamas of Maya determines what is going to be sentient and what is going to be inert. If there is no sattvic aspect there, it is going to be jada. If there is sattvic aspect means thinking capability, mind, reasoning. So these are going to allow sentience. That's the idea with the shloka. Okay. So this Swayam Prakashiti ji puts in his word. He says, jada ajada vibhagaha. So first word, the jada ajada vibhagaha. He says, idam. This jada is idam. Idam means this. And anytime we say something as this, this means signifying that inertness, signifying the separatedness from being alive. That's why we say this, this object, this thing. So, jada, whatever it is bhogya. It is subject to enjoyment by us. And ajadaha, I am bhokta. And that which is ajada, sentient, is the enjoyer of the enjoyed object. Not enjoyed object. Enjoyer of the objects of the world. And ayam, the next word, ayam, means pratiyamana. It is that which is experienced very easily. Anything that we see as a transaction in this world, all those transactions has these two things always. If I write with a pen, I, the one who am writing, is the ajada, the pen is the jada. But the pen and the writer both are Brahman. Pratiyamanaha, that which is experienced, where it is experienced. Ajade. Ajade meaning where it is sentient, in the sentient, in the consciousness which never becomes dull, that is ajana. So in the consciousness which is vibrant with awareness. So in ajade, which is mai, me, pratyatma, the inner self. So in me, the inner self, Brahman, is kalpita. It is imagined. What is meant by imagined? So maya arupita, it is superimposed by maya. So maya is causing, it's taking its power and projecting it on Brahman. Like how the painting is projected on the wall. So that wall is sama from all directions. But on that it is paint. So what is the meaning? So the meaning is the upadhi of the jada has tamas pradhana. There is lack of sentience, lack of sattva, and which is the reason why it is the object of enjoyment, jada. And ajada is the one that is going to enjoy those objects. All the objects of the world are meant as an enjoyment for the sentient. So this idea, he says that this idea is quoted by Vartikakara. He gives a quotation from Vartikakara, which is Sureshwar Acharya, disciple of Adi Shankaracharya. And he says, tamah pradhana kshetranam. Kshetra, we know from Bhagavad Gita, right? Kshetra, kshetragnya. So kshetra is the field. Kshetragnya is the knower of the field. So kshetra means the prakriti, the world. And this world is what? Tamah pradhana. This world is pradhana, filled with. What do you call pradhana? We understand. Tamas means darkness. Tamas means ignorance. So that which is predominance. Yes, that's the word. So there's a predominance of ignorance in object of enjoyment. Kshetrana. Chit pradhana chidatmana. And that which is sentient. There is predominance of chit. There is a reflection of consciousness which is very bright. And even though it is like that, parah karanam iti. The cause for both the kshetra and Chidatma is Paraha, Brahman, Supreme. Karanam means Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. You have heard of this word, right? Abhinna Nimitta Upadana Karanam. Meaning both the material cause and the efficient cause is Brahmanam. So Paraha Karanam Iti. By how? Bhavana Ajnana Karma. Bhavana, because of thinking, it becomes Brahman becomes the material and the efficient cause of the creation because of the thinking. So as the thinking are differing in each being has a different mind and each being has a different jivahood. I'm different from this other jiva. This is the bhavana, ajnana, ignorance, and karma, the actions. So these three are the very ingredient which gives us the idea of differences. But Brahman is nothing but the substratum on which this is superimposed. And to explain this, Lakshmidhar Kavi or Swayam Prakashiti ji adds to that example. Lakshmidhar Kavi only says the example of Bhitti Bhagi. So the space of the wall, which is sama, which is same. From top to bottom, left to right, it is the same. And same meaning, it doesn't move, it is stationary. So it is inert, and the other is there's no difference from one end to another. One homogeneous wall. So one same wall. And on that, charaha. He gives chara is like the gajaha, like an elephant. So the sentient is like the elephant, and acharaha is like the parvata, like the mountain. So in the same picture, there's a mountain and then there is an elephant. By looking at elephant, one can imagine just how that elephant may have been living. It makes it feel alive. And by looking at the mountain, one feels the inertness very easily. So all of this is shown on an immovable object, yet they are both the same. Meaning the mountain is the wall and elephant is also the wall only. They're not too different. Therefore, the differences that are there in this creation, those differences are not because of Brahman. Those differences are because of Maya. And projection. It throws on this Brahman with these things. Sloka number 19. Any questions, comments? This was clear, right? Very simple.
Yeah. Hiranji, one question is.
Yes.
The differences are because of Maya, but then isn't it the Jiva actually creating the difference? Maya is just present, like projecting it, right? Maya is not, is Maya actually saying, this is Jada, this is, and we are just seeing it like how Maya is projecting, or we have some, I don't know how to put that question. We have some, we also, you know, add to that.
Here the point that is trying to be, that is mentioned is this, that jada padartha, that which is bhogya, by saying it is bhogya, it is also showing that I didn't create it. It was part of creation. And because it is bhogya, it doesn't have the ability to shine on its own. It doesn't have the ability to illumine. Whereas I do. I the bhokta, I who am the bhokta, I have the ability to illumine myself, which the jada padartha does not. So even if I can say that this is my imagination, I cannot change the fact of what is bhogya and what is bhokta. And that is the creation of the entire prakriti, the mind.
But I can, as a jiva, I can also change that, right? Like how I see the samsara, like how I see the creation. In my mind, I can have a different view compared to somebody else.
In my mind, I can have a different
view. I mean, jada and sentiency, that is created by maya. But how I see it is also different. Like how I see it and how you see it will be different.
Yeah, absolutely. So how I see the padartha, whatever that jada is, obviously it will be different. But what is important to notice in that is, I don't see the jada, but I see the Brahman in the jada. And likewise, I do not see sentiency in me, but I see Brahman in me. Sentiency is the product which is caused because of
Brahman. So both jada and
sentiency is not even the product caused because of Brahman. Sentiency is the combination because of the mind being able to reflect the consciousness.
Okay. So jada and the inert and the sentient, they are considered identical, same, because substratum is same. Is that correct?
Yes. They're both the same because the substratum is the same.
But then they are different because of, the attributes are different.
Correct. And that is what we call as the upadhi. Okay. Because the upadhi is different, they are seen different. So they're seen different where? At the vyavaharika level. So at a vyavaharika level, they're seen differently. At a paramarthika level, they're both the same. Same way in the picture. In the picture, if you go into the picture and whatever is projected in the picture, you go into it, one will see a living animal and an inert mount. But if you go to the paramarthika level, both are nothing but the one, piece of the one. So therefore, one is a superimposition, another is a substrate. So in order to establish this in Brahma, and there's a reason why Swayam Prakash Shetty ji, Lakshmidhar Kavi ji is doing this. He's going to establish one point from this. So as I said before, 19, 20, 21, three connected verses. Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay, then let's move forward. And if you do think about it, then let me. So now, another objection raised. So before all, there's always an objection to connect from one shloka to another. He says, Brahman and Atma cannot be one. There cannot be oneness established between both Brahman and Atma. Why? Because there is this samsara sakshi. Samsara sakshi, as long as sakshi is there, one is going to see duality. There is a difference between the witnessed world and the witnesser. Okay. So I, who am the witness, I am more closely connected to Brahman. Yet there is a duality in the witness also. Because when we say somebody is a witness, the witness can only be in connection to what is being witnessed. If I don't witness something, I am not a witness. Correct? So I am tied to samsara. Therefore, there is a problem there. Because if Sakshi is like this, then the scriptures will become false. Which scriptures? The scriptures that speak about Brahman as asthulam, ananu, like that. Then there are scriptures that say na iti, meaning Brahman is not this, not this. That which you can identify as something, that is not Brahman. So whatever is remaining is Brahman. That is how scriptures say. So Sakshi, we can identify. We are all able to experience the and appreciate what is a witness like. I can witness my own thoughts. So I can experience this. So therefore, Sakshi cannot be that. So when this doubt came, to establish that Sakshi is not really truly a Brahman. Though we say Sakshi is much closer to Brahman, it is not Brahman. Sakshi is in the transactional realm as close as it can get to Brahman. It is like the example can be something like somebody running a marathon. Okay? And you know, in Olympics, they do that, right? Where they run a marathon and then the final lap, they come into that big stadium dome. And then they run the lap and then they can complete the marathon. So one who is running, when they enter that stadium, that is not the end of the race. If they stop at that point and don't go forward, they're not reached. In order for them to get there, they have to make that lap and finish till that ribbon is touched. If you're the first person, if you're the last person or whoever it is, you have to cross whatever line it is to count. So the point is that Sakshi, we agree, is not Brahman. But Sakshi gets us closer to Brahman. So even in this jiva, in the person, there is this difference of jada and ajada. The jada is Sakshi and ajada is Brahman or Atman. So chara achara. Okay, so this is what is being established in. Let's look at the shloka. Cheto chetyo paraga rupame. Sakshita pinatatviki. Upalakshaname veyam. nistaranga chidam budhehe. Chetyo paraga rupame sakshita pinatatviki upalakshaname veyam nistaranga chidam budhehe. Chetyoparaga rupa sakshita. Rupa of the nature. Raga rupa. Raga doesn't mean like. Raga means attached or related to. Chetya. Belonging to chetana. Belonging to consciousness. So what is belonging to consciousness? The inert, the mind. So the inert, which is the attachment of this nature, which is related to consciousness, sakshita, witnesshood. That is witnesshood. So witnesshood is like that, where it is connected to sentiency, may of mine, this kind of sakshita, this kind of witnesshood of mine, na tatviki. Tatviki, it is not real. It is not the tattva, it is not the absolute. It's not the substance. That is. So that sakshita, that witnesshood is not the reality. So then what is it? So it is the upalakshana. Upalakshana, it is an indicator. Upalakshanam eva. It is alone an indicator of yam nistaranga chidambudhehe. Ambudhehe ocean. Chidambudhehe ocean of consciousness. Nistaranga, the waveless ocean of consciousness. So this sakshi is merely a representation or indicator towards the real Brahman. It is not the Brahman, but it is indicating, pointing to us where is Brahman. Okay. First, what is upalakshana? What do we mean by the word upalakshana? You remember from Tattva Bodha, there is a what is the there's atadvyavritti lakshana, then there is tatastha lakshana. Tatastha lakshana. Atadvyavritti lakshana, tatastha lakshana, and swarupa lakshana. So when we say sthula sukshma karana sharira vyatirikta, without the sthula sukshma and karana sharira. That is what Tattva Bodha says. So I am without these three bodies. That is atat. Tat, that. Atat, not that. So where it points out to me what I am not, that is atadvyavritti lakshana. But then there's another definition of Atma, which we say is, which is like the Tatastha Lakshana. So what is that? We say is, Avasthatraya Sakshi. See the word Sakshi. So Avastha, the three states, I am the witness of that. So by being witness, I point out, I direct attention towards Brahma. So where I am looking at waking state, instead of focusing on the waking state, I should be focusing on the light which illumines the waking state. Similarly, when I focus on the dream state, I focus on the light which illumines the dream state. Obviously, in dream state, it is difficult, but I can do that very easily with waking state. And deep sleep state, there is no light, but I can analyze that again back in waking state. So I am the witness of these three states. So what did I do with this Lakshana? Is I took something which was very close to this Brahman and I pointed it towards that, so it made it easier for me to point towards Brahman. That is Upalakshana. So the property of which is not there in the reality, but by pointing it to this object, I can easily indicate the reality. Okay. Another idea. The classic example is, there is a moon. Not a moon. Moon is easy to spot. A star. There's a set type of star, but this star is not easily identifiable. So you tell the person to look between these two branches of a tree. And then when you look out into the sky in distance, you will be able to see the star. So the branch of the tree became the pointer towards the star. The branch of the tree is not what we are showing as the truth. But beyond that, what you see is the truth. Likewise, there is... when you want to point out the house of Devadatta, but there is a crow on top of the house of Devadatta. So you say, you look at the house which has the crow, that is the house of Devadatta. But the crow is Tatastha. It is staying only there. The crow will fly and go to a different house. So next time you cannot say that, oh, where the crow is, that is the house. Because the crow flew and went to a different house. So for that moment, for that instant, where it was, that is the house. That is how Upalakshana works. Okay, so I hope you got the idea of what is Upalakshana. Okay, so here the point of the shloka is, we didn't get a chance to go through the actual thought, but the point of the shloka is this. That witnesshood is in connection with the transactional world. When I am a witness of something, I am connected to the object of the world. So my thoughts, I am aware of that. And when I say I'm aware of it, the mind is aware of it. And if the mind is aware of it, then mind is able to capture it. And if mind can capture it, then how can it capture Brahman? Because if mind is capturable by Brahman, that means Brahman became object of mind. That is not logical. So therefore, Sakshi is just giving us an appreciation of what is Brahman and making the mind peaceful. But it is not the ultimate goal, and I should not stop there. I should continue on till there are no more thoughts also. Once all the thoughts have ceased, that's when I have reached the destination. So this Sakshi witnesshood is not the reality, but it is only an upalakshana. It is only an indicator towards Brahman. What Swayam Prakashati ji says is kind of brought in the gist of this idea. So we haven't missed anything. Any questions on this?
So Sakshi is, I think I read it, maybe heard it before, is the reflection of consciousness, right? On the mind, in the mind. And it is a witness. It doesn't do anything. It's just a witness, just like Brahman.
Yes, reflection of consciousness. Correct, it doesn't do anything. However, it does do one thing, and that is, it is the witnesser. Sakshi is the witnesser. When I am sitting in meditation and I observe my thoughts, I am the witnesser of my thoughts. But when I am the witnesser, the thoughts, the ability of the mind that I use, which is the super sattvic level that I can take the mind to observe the very grosser nature of thoughts. So it is one thought observing other thought. So that is what Sakshi is doing. But I have to reach a state where mind is not thinking. Mind is not trying to bring into its thought construct what is Brahman. Mind is put to rest at that time where it no longer is able to think only. And at that time, the self-awareness is evident.
So Sakshi does not exist at that point?
Sakshi exists, but Sakshi no longer has the arrogance of I am witnessing.
Okay.
It is like an image my eyes capture, but my mind not being present registers that I captured an image. So I saw it, but the mind never registered that I saw it. Likewise, the mind is present, but the mind doesn't register that I am separate from this. Because mind also is Brahman. But because of the quality, because of the upadhi, I think it is mind which is separate, which is different. So in that state, the mind is not seen different from Brahman. And therefore, the activity of the mind continues, but that activity is overshadowed by the presence or the evidence that I am Brahman. I should say awareness, overshadowed by the awareness that I am Brahman. And there's no thought that is saying I am Brahman. So I think Hemaji, you only had asked this question before, right? Now what about Sakshi? So this is one of that answer. I don't know if you had asked or somebody else, but there was one question I remember that, how about Sakshi? Isn't Sakshi true or is Sakshi false? And so here is that point.
I think in the previous book, we had discussed about Sakshi.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to go through the notes.